Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Five things, Troy, that I would like to see from the Dallas Cowboys this week in their game against Washington. Number one, Andy Dalton make the Minnesota game his norm. If he plays like that, not only is this team going to win the division, but he might get a starting job next year on a one-year kind of Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor type deal, right? He might get a job there if he plays the way he did against the game against Minnesota, if he plays that way the rest of the year, and the Cowboys will wind up winning the division.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, he's going up against a much worse defense when he's going up against that of Washington. So, you know, there's a very good possibility of him doing that.
Yeah. Number two, Randy Gregory continued that solid play. He was the highest graded defensive player this past week from Pro Football Focus on this Cowboys roster.
And also, let's correct that. He was the highest graded we didn't notice graded
yes.
player. Because we even said that the next day. We were like, or Sean mentioned, like, was he graded Gregory? And I was like, you know what? I don't even think I noticed it until the grades came out. And I was like, that's even more impressive.
Yeah. I was stunned. And I don't really know how their methodology works in terms of how they grade the players. But I do know, and this was brought up on the Fantext yesterday by 337, our Fantaster. He said, you know, they grade every single play on a -2, -1, 0, 1, or 2 scale. So you get points, and every play is graded on that sliding scale, -2, -1, 0, 1, or 2, kind of add them up, find out who the best is, yada, yada, yada. So that's how they kind of do it. So I thought that was an interesting way, interesting kind of tidbit there on that's how their methodology is. But if Randy Gregory plays like that long term, fantastic. You know, if he doesn't, look, they're not planning, expecting to get a ton from him. Let's make it 2 in a row. Number three, Kellen Moore, dial up that same game plan level. That was a pretty nice job on Sunday. We all came in here Monday morning and we're like, you know what? We got to give Kellen some props. He did a really nice job with that game plan on Sunday. And with a shortened week, and with the fact that they didn't practice yesterday, right, it's even more important that he were to duplicate that.
Right. And not only that, but what I want to see more out of Kellen Moore is, yes, it was impressive what he was able to do against the Vikings, but I want to see more of what he did on the two-point conversion.
Oh, yes.
See, that was drawing it up. Mm-hmm. That was a play of misdirection that everyone was going, we're going strong side. Oh, no, we're going left, so we're going weak side. That was impressive right there from Kellen Moore. What you did on the two-point conversion, I would love to see more of that, especially on a Thanksgiving Day game.
Yep, I can. Yeah, exactly. You know, they've already played Washington this year. They've already got an idea of what they're going to do. They play them every year. But, man, I'll tell you, you know, CeeDee Lamb in motion on a quick handoff reverse type thing, that is a play I would like to see way more of. The Patriots for years made a made a, every time they needed a big play, there'd be a Brady sneak on a 4th-and-1, or you would have an offset eye and bam, the handoff goes right to the fullback, quick handoff and up the gut, and those quick handoffs sometimes throw teams off. So I'm in on the CeeDee Lamb running the ball on the reverse, just on that straight handoff. Number four, this is for Mike McCarthy. Be more aggressive with the calls. I thought they missed a golden opportunity before the half. They decided to kick the field goal with 5 seconds left instead of trying one more play. They ran a play with 7 to go. It took 2 seconds off the clock. Andy Dalton is not a rookie, okay? Andy Dalton is not a rookie quarterback. He understands time and score. He could have gotten rid of the ball in less than 5 seconds. You know, he's not gonna take a sack, snap it. Now, I guess you are running the risk of a fumbled snap, but dude, if you can't if you're worried about fumbling a snap to the quarterback, how are you not worried about fumbling a snap on a field goal try? Same thing. In fact, it's probably even more difficult. So I did not understand it. I did not like that decision. It didn't kill them because they wound up winning the game. But that's 4 points they could have lost. What if Minnesota scored a touchdown on that final drive? You know, they would have lost the game as
right.
opposed to tie it. So, to me, that could have bit them in the butt. I would have been a little bit more aggressive there. And then number five, keep using Pollard and Zeke the way they did last week. Perfect balance, I thought, of those two players. The O-line was a mess before that. Probably a good chance that it isn't as good as it was against Minnesota because Washington's defensive front is really, really solid. But I thought the way they used both those players, the perfect way, the way they were shuffled throughout this game, Troy. So, Pollard, Zeke, be more aggressive. Kellen Moore, dial it up. Randy Gregory and Andy Dalton making that Minnesota game is norm.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about it with Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 this morning. Joe Theismann will join us at 9 o'clock as well. And then we'll talk with DallasCowboys.com writer Kyle Yeomans at 9:20 as well. What is the ultimate achievement in your eyes for this game? Now, obviously, I say obviously, it would be a Cowboys W, but is that what you want out of this Thanksgiving Day game?
I'm back. I'm back off Team Tank. And we detailed this yesterday. It just doesn't make enough sense historically. Now there's a draft study we used yesterday that had about an eight-year draft analysis of teams in the first round. And they're picking about, you got about a 50% hit rate of all these picks. It doesn't matter what, if you're not taking a quarterback, I should say. If you're taking a quarterback, it's a little bit different. But if,
right.
if you're not taking a quarterback, it's about a 50-50 chance on whether or not that player busts or not.
Okay.
And I don't know that I want to be able to put myself in a position to spend an extra $20 million on a top four pick when I really don't have a considerable better chance of getting a great player than I do at 16. And, you know, and the people that came back say, well, what about in the second round? You're going to pick in the top five in the second round, the third round. Well, that's true. And my response to that would be, if these teams can't get it right more than 50% in the first round, you think they're going to be able to do that in the fourth round where you haven't heard of some of these guys?
Right, right. I mean, and you made the really good point yesterday when you were talking about, you know, where CeeDee Lamb went in the draft last year, and then you take for, you know, in consideration where he was and then the possibility of moving up in that draft, or moving down, I should say, in that draft, you weren't going to get your money back. You weren't going to get your money back if the Cowboys were in that situation last year. So what makes you think they're going to be in that situation this year? We have Jared Sandler back. He's connected at his home studio here on 105.3 The Fan as he fills in for RJ, or excuse me, Sean. And Jared, I was asking RJ, in this game, is this the kind of game that you want the Cowboys to win, considering the rivalry against Washington is Thanksgiving Day, or are you on Team Tank? Because RJ's already abandoned. He's jumped off Team Tank like he's jumped off his dates. He's off of it right now. Where are you at?
Yeah, so here's where I stand on this. I can't actively root for them to lose while watching a game. If they end up losing, and they end up losing every game the rest of the year, then it is what it is. Then let's benefit from a great pick. But I don't have it in me, like Jeff Kavanaugh, to cheer when Adam Thielen toe taps in the corner of the end zone and scores a touchdown, or when Andy Dalton misses a throw on third down. I can't do that. And because if they were like three games out of a playoff spot and like there was no chance, then that's one thing, that's totally different. But like, I can't actively watch the game and root against them knowing that they could still win the division. I mean, maybe that's going to screw them out of a draft pick by 10 spots or whatever. And that's probably not the best strategy long-term. I get that, but I don't know how to root against my team while they're playing.
That's easy. Just find someone to hate. I mean, I do it with Tennessee football all the time.
I hate Clay Helton with USC football, but I can't root for them to lose. I want their coach to get fired, and I know that losing's the only way that's going to happen, but I can't. I don't have it in me, and maybe I'm soft, and that's fine, but I can't do that.
Okay.
I mean, who's the best team in the NFC East right now? Like, who's got the best chance to win this division?
God. It might be the Cowboys. It really might be. Yeah, they really, because when you factor in their strength of schedule, which is pretty easy, And then you factor in Philadelphia stinks. Their quarterback is not playing well. Washington, nobody buys them. And then the Giants, I mean, the Giants might be in turmoil right now with their coaching staff. And, you know, they have not, they've got a ton of injuries as well. I would think that it might be the Cowboys. Now, the people are coming up on the Autoflex Leasing Fantex saying, if I get Trevor Lawrence, I can absolutely cheer for a loss. That's fair.
But that ain't happening.
Yeah.
It's not even close to happening. That. Yeah. Those days are long gone. Those days of possibly getting Trevor Lawrence or maybe Justin Fields to come in, those days are long gone for this Cowboys team. If you're looking at anybody, you're going to look at the offensive tackle that's out of Oregon, Sewell, or you're going to look at some other defensive player. That Cowboy quarterback dream being drafted is gone.
Yes, I agree. And you know, if you wanted Lawrence and Fields, fine, I get it. We all wanted Lawrence and Fields to be on the board. That way you could trade out of them, right? Because I wasn't going to take those players, but I could trade out of them. But if you're outside that, as Fantex brings out, I'm not paying $9 million for a linebacker, for a rookie linebacker who's never proven himself. And that's what you would wind up paying. Who's the kid for Penn State? Micah Parsons, right?
Right,
yeah.
You're going to pay $9-10 million a year for a guy who's never played a down the foot in the NFL who is not playing an impact position like quarterback? I just don't know how I'm going to do that.
Yeah, if they still were within reach of a top three pick, then I guess maybe we can have a different conversation, but they're not.
Right.
And with each week that passes, with each win, they're getting closer and closer to that threshold of if you make the playoffs, what, you're the 19th pick? Is that right?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, because they're going to have the worst record of any playoff team, so they'll get the war. And then if they, assuming they lose in the first round, which I think, you know, we're pretty confident they will. I mean, anything can happen. Then they'll have the 19th pick. But what, you know, right now, like, it's not a difference of 16 picks anymore. Now it's a difference of 9 picks, and then soon it might be a difference of 11. I mean, it's just the NFL is kind of like the NBA or the Major League Baseball. In that it's so top-heavy and filled with awful teams. You know, the parity, that middle ground isn't there this year the way that it is in the past. So winning 5 or 6 games isn't going to get you a top-5 pick like maybe it would in previous years. Winning 5 or 6 games, you're going to be right around the 8-9-10 spot.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the amount of teams that were tied with the Cowboys last week, it was like 6 teams. I mean, you had a bunch of them. You know, it's if you look at the NFL standings right now, the amount of teams that are like 7-3 blows me away. Like it was like 14 teams or I mean, I'm just going to count these things up right now and this is fantastic radio, Troy. I know you're going to love this.
Oh yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 teams are 7-3 or better.
Hey, you look like the count for a reason.
Yep. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 7-4. So that's 12 teams have 7 wins or more right now. I thought this was an 8-8 league.
And that's a record, right? Most teams with 7 wins through 12 weeks in NFL history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's crazy. Hey, quickly, you know, you mentioned Micah Parsons and linebacker. You know what this team needs, and this is a different discussion because we got to go to break, but this team needs defensive ends. I know going into the year we said, oh, of all the spots defensively, the defensive line's good, especially the defensive ends. But DeMarcus Lawrence ain't getting any younger. He's still really good. This is not a DeMarcus Lawrence isn't good comment because he's still good. But who else do you have? Randy Gregory has 7 sacks in his career. I can't keep waiting on Randy Gregory. I can't keep, you know, waiting on that hope. Alden Smith is probably gone after this year. I mean, if you believe those reports that he doesn't want to be here now, he wanted to get traded. Mm-hmm. This was supposed to be an area of strength for this team. This is no longer an area of strength moving forward for this team. They're going to have to replenish pretty much every level of their defense.
They are. You know, if they wanted to go and get, you know, defensive ends in the draft or safety help, corner help, they're going to have to throw a bunch of darts out there. You know, volume, right? Draft a bunch of players, just not high picks. Get a lot of picks. Throw some bodies out there. See what sticks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.